today, even though technically Advent ended on Christmas Eve, we are going to do the fifth candle and celebrate the Christ candle, the birth of Christ, even though it's the day after Christmas. So we've lit the four candles, and today we'll be lighting the fifth, the Christ candle. What's that? Oh. Yeah. Yeah. There we go. You know, there's a lot of passages we've read or that were in the sermons over the last 3 or 4 weeks. This morning we're looking at Luke chapter 2. It's one of my favorite because of the things that are in it. You know, when I was a kid, my knowledge of the Christmas story was based on TV. My family wasn't Christian, nor did they really practice, although they did occasionally go to church on Christmas and Easter. But it wasn't until I became an adult and I got saved and I actually started reading the Bible that I understood that some of my perceptions about Christmas weren't correct. And, you know, I loved Luke chapter 2, you know, Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem and Jesus' birth in the manger. And what a beautiful picture that gives us. And then the angel and the hosts of heaven appear to the shepherds in the fields. And that, to me, is an amazing thing. I can't imagine as they looked into the heavens and saw that. And then the shepherds were obedient. They journeyed and they went to Bethlehem. They found the baby in the manger. But that wasn't the end of the story. After they came and worshiped Jesus, it says they left and told everybody this great news. And then, you know, we always have the magi or the wise men at the nativity scene. But we know they didn't come for several months. But they came, they followed the star and found Christ and celebrated. What? These are just great, wonderful mental images that we can have that are just incredible. And even though this is the day after Christmas, we are going to celebrate the Christ candle, the birth of Christ, and also anticipate his second coming. You know, many argued that Luke chapter 2 could not be accurate, that it was false, and therefore the Bible was not accurate. Well, that creates a problem for us if we believe it's the Word of God. See, there was no historical record of a census ordered by Caesar Augustus, and therefore many scholars said the Bible wasn't accurate. Historical records were devoid of the evidence of a Roman decreed sentence, census. And part of the problem was there was a discrepancy in the Roman calendar as to when was year one. Through archaeological and historical discoveries in the 20th century, it revealed two things. One, it revealed the discrepancy in the calendar. And two, that there had been an actual Roman census ordered by Augustus Caesar. So then it verified that Luke chapter 2 was completely accurate and true. Let me read. It says, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius, the governor of Syria. So what you need to know is the Roman calendar is off. Christ was actually born in about 6 BC, not year one, because of the mistake that was made in the calendar. And so, in 6 BC, Herod Archelaus was deposed. The Roman Empire took him out of power. He had ruled over the largest section of Judea, and they converted his territory into the Roman province of Judea. Quirinius was made legate, or governor of the territory, and they consolidated the province of Judea and Syria, and it became known as Roman Syria. So we see that what we just read is exactly true. And as governor, he was ordered by Caesar Augustus to carry out a sentence in order to establish the tax basis for this province of Judea, Syria, that would then support Rome. So now that we know that in 6 BC, that the census was ordered and that the first two verses of Luke are true, let's continue in verse 3 and see what else is true. It says, all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up to Galilee, to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, and because there was no place for him in the inn. And what we see in this is there's all sorts of things that have to happen for and play out for this to be just as God said it would, especially through his prophet Isaiah, but through the other prophets like Micah. All this was predicted. God controlled every detail so that the birth of Christ and everything that was going to happen happened exactly the way he ordained. And so, as we begin to look at this morning, let's open in prayer, because God's Word is the Word of life. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for the many blessings you bring into our life, and the most important, Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So, Father, at this time of year when the world is looking at Christmas and often looking at it in a way that's not correct, help us, Father, show the world the true Christmas, the true Christ, and the true hope that people can have through Jesus. Father, open our hearts this morning as we look at your word, and help us take it in and live it and live for your glory. Amen. So even though today is the day after Christmas, we do as the early church did. On this Lord's Day, we come together and we pray. We use the Word of God, we teach, we focus, and we worship in song. And then when we're done, we'll also fellowship, just as it is in Acts chapter 2. So we spent 4 weeks working through the Advent wreath and what it meant. It was a little disappointing that we had to skip 3 weeks. But, you know, the nice thing about it, a lot of us got sick. We're all getting healthy. And now we can move on because we've got herd immunity, right? And so we talk about the body of Christ, so now we can be the herd of Christ, right? And so we come together and we're going to look at this fifth candle, the Christ candle. And our Advent message is, remember, as we looked at the Advent wreath, we used those candles for the themes of the last four sermons. The first Advent candle represents hope. And so the first message about Advent was about how hope is found in the scriptures relating to Christmas and the Christmas story. The second candle represented peace. And on the second Sunday, we examined peace and how it relates to Christ and Christmas. And then we did the same for the third and the fourth candles, which represented joy and love. You may have noticed that there was one candle left in the center, which we lit this morning. It's called the Christ candle. And we, this day, it's normally lit on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. We're doing it today because we're going to finish up with our study of the Advent wreath. The Christ candle is the center because the candle reminds us that Jesus is the center of all life, not just Christmas, but especially this Christmas season. The four outside candles are important, but they only make sense if Jesus is at the center of it all. Christmas is a time of hope and peace and joy and love. But once again, this is only true in an eternal sense if Jesus is at the center. The scriptures reveal God's plan for the salvation of mankind. And Jesus gathered people and he told them, he said, in John 3, beginning in John 3:16, he said, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then he continues, he says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love darkness more than light, because the works of the world are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes into the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." We're called to be a light in this dark world. We're called to live with hope, peace, joy, and love of Christ in a world that does not truly know these gifts. They talk about them a lot, but they do not know them. The world doesn't know God, and therefore the world doesn't know Christ. And the world desperately is always seeking hope and peace and joy and love, and they can't find them. They chase after them because they do not have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So the first thing we're going to look at is hope. Jesus is the center of Christmas because there is no lasting hope without Christ. When we assess the Advent candle of hope, we saw that in the hope of Christ, it's the hope of Christ that sustains us while we wait for his coming again. We saw that it's the hope of Christ that helps us run the race of life and do well and stay true to God. We observe that the hope of Christ does not disappoint. It tells us in Romans, it says, "Through Christ we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." See, the only chance to understand and experience and live with hope is because of Christ. Without that, you may know it for a short period of time, but not for eternity. See, we also learned that through the whole Advent season, we have hope, and for us as Christians, we have hope and anticipation of his return. It is about, think about all the people of the Old Testament who waited many, many long years for Christ to come. And they were saved because of their hope in the coming Messiah and their belief in the one God. It is also about our waiting now. We live with Christ and we wait for his return. God promised to send Jesus the first time, and he did. God has promised to send Jesus the second time, and he will. And Christ and Christmas is all about hope found in Christ. Because God sent his son into the world, you and I can have hope when there seems to be no hope in this world. We have hope today because Christ is with us. We have hope for tomorrow because Christ will never leave us. and we have hope for eternity because Christ is coming back and we will live with him forever. Too many people in our world live without hope because they live without Christ. So we understand that this Christmas season, this Advent season, the first reason Jesus is the center of Christmas is because all real hope is found in him. And without Christ, there is no hope. And then as we looked at the second candle of peace, we understand that Jesus is the center of Christmas because there's no peace without Christ. We studied the Advent candle of peace and we learned that Jesus brings peace into the lives of believers as a gift from God. Peace comes because of those, when we believe in Christ, he restores a right relationship for us with God the Father. Our sin is forgiven. We understand Jesus brings peace to the inner self. Because we know that we're broken people and we can't trust ourselves, but we can trust Christ. And when we trust in Christ, he brings peace into our heart and our soul and minds. Christ gives each believer the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit. And a personal peace is experienced unlike anything the world truly understands. We observed how Jesus brings peace with others. When we put our faith in Christ, when we look at our relationship with Christ, when we surrender to the Holy Spirit, we're able to reconcile with people, even people that are difficult. So Jesus reconciles those relationships and allows us to live in peace with those around us. And then finally, we saw that Jesus will be bringing peace to earth. When he returns, he will rule over this world in peace. All war and conflicts will cease. And it tells us in the scriptures that even the world of nature and animals will be at peace with each other. All true peace in the world is centered on Christ alone. Our world is sadly lacking peace because our world is lacking Christ. The religious leaders of this world will not bring long-term peace. Political leaders of this world will not bring peace. Pop psychologists of this world will not bring peace. In America, we love drugs and medications. All the drugs and medications that you can take will not bring you peace. See, only Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is a Savior who is coming and he brings you back to God. Your relationship with God was fractured and broken until Christ brings you back. So not only is Christ our Savior, but he is the King who will return, who will reign over the earth in peace. The angels announced the birth of Christ to the shepherds that were out in the fields with their flocks, and it says they sang songs of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. So the second reason Jesus is the center of Christmas and the Advent wreath is because only Jesus brings true peace. There's no peace, lasting peace, without Christ. And then the third candle was the candle of joy. And the world confuses happiness, which is fleeting, with real joy found only in Christ. True inner joy comes through knowing Christ and how he brings salvation into your soul and brings you spiritually alive. So the question is, let me ask you, do you have joy in your life? Why is that question important? Well, I believe it's important for this reason. There is no real joy without salvation. And one of the true marks of salvation is joy in your life. The joy of our salvation leads one to proclaim the good news and share, because joy cannot be confined. The natural outpouring of the joy of the gospel of Christ leads you to praise Christ, leads you to tell people about Christ. The world seeks happiness by amassing material things and all the presents that were unwrapped yesterday. But Christians know true and lasting joy in all circumstances because they live in and for the glory of Jesus Christ. When the angels announce the birth of Christ to the shepherds, they not only sing songs of peace in the sky, they proclaim the good news of great joy for all the people. After the shepherds went to Bethlehem and found Jesus in the manger, it says they were so full of joy, they went out into the night and told everybody about Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, had come. They couldn't wait until morning because they were filled to the brim with joy and it overpoured out of their lives. And the good news about Christmas, the good news about Christ had to be shared. They returned then after they shared the gospel. They returned back to the fields, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. And what's amazing for us, 2,000 years later, we know that the prophets and the angels foretold all these things and it happened exactly the way God ordained. What an amazing thing. See, the joy every believer experiences and has comes from the relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Savior and by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The world offers a lot of entertainment, a lot of excitement, a lot of thrills. But let's be honest, the world offers very little joy. Joy is deeper than happiness. Happiness is temporary and it's dependent on circumstances. But Jesus offers you a joy that transcends all circumstances. Christmas is not always a happy time for people. Did you know the suicide rate goes up drastically during the holidays at Christmas time? Because people are told you should have all this joy, you should have all this happiness, and they're going, but my life's broken, it's unfulfilled, it's not what I thought it would be. It's an especially hard time for those who have lost those loved ones during the Christmas season. See, but Jesus says, even in the worst of times, if you surrender your life to me, you will experience joy. And so Jesus can bring joy into our life, even in the midst of our deepest sorrows, in the midst of our loss, in the midst of tragedy. See, true joy doesn't mean you'll never be sad. We all are sad. It means that even in your worst of times, your saddest hours, you know God is with you. You know you can trust Him. And because you can trust Him, then you can have peace and joy in your heart. So the third reason in the Advent season that Jesus is the center of Christmas is because Jesus brings a joy that is deeper than the worldly happiness. He brings a joy that's even deeper than our sorrows. There is no real joy without Christ. And then the last candle we looked at was the love candle. And Jesus is the center of Christmas because there is no true and real love without Christ. I mean, when we studied the Advent candle of love, remember, we saw how Joseph loved Mary and took her best interest to heart, even though he initially thought she had been unfaithful to him. He loved her in spite of what he thought she had done. See, he did not want her to be harmed. And then we witness Mary and how she loved Christ and how even John leaped with joy when Christ came close to him while he was in Elizabeth. And see, God revealed his love for sinners that he sent his own son to be sacrificed for our sin. Scripture tells us an outward sign of true love in Christ is evidenced by our love for others. a Christian's natural response to God is to love those around us, to love even those who are unlovable. And let's face it, every one of us is unlovable at some point in time. And when I say there's no real love without Christ, I'm not saying that you can't love your family or be loving towards other people unless you're a Christian. I think I've met many people who do not believe in Christ that are nice people and they're kind towards others. But let me be clear. Whether you realize it or not, all love, all your ability to even love at all, true love, is only possible because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the Son of God, you cannot experience or express the fullness of love, especially agape love, unconditional love, without Christ. The Bible tells us that God is love and that all love comes from God. As the Apostle John taught, he said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest to us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." You know, before the triune God created the universe, before the triune God created the world, there was always God, because God is eternal, and therefore there has always eternally been love. God the Father loved God the Son, and Jesus loved God the Father, and God the Father and Jesus both loved the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit loved both the Father and the Son. See, God is love from all eternity. There has always been this perfect relationship between the three persons of the Trinity. One God, three persons, in perfect relationship, perfect harmony, perfect peace, perfect love. When God created the world, the love of God, the love God had for Himself and for the persons of the Trinity spilled over into us. We were created in the image of God. You know, it's kind of like tracing a stream back to its source. I don't know if you've ever hiked through the woods and there's a little stream, and as you hike further back up into the canyons and stuff, finally you'll get to the spring or the little lake that feeds the stream. See, any act or expression of true love in this world has to be traced back to its source. And at its source, you will always find God, because He is the wellspring of all love. God is the source of all love in the world. Every act of love in this world finds its source in Him. God is love, and love comes from God. The story of Christmas is all about love, because Christmas is all about Christ. Our goal should always be to live in peace and love with each other. And we're enabled to even begin to do this by the power of the Holy Spirit that is indwelled in every believer. The baby born in Bethlehem grew to be a man. He lived a perfect life with no sin. He went to the cross and died a horrible death, a sacrificial death. The Bible tells us why Jesus did all these things. He did it for every sinner that had to be saved. He did it because of His love for you and His love for me and His love for all sinners. God sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is why Jesus came, not just to be a prophet, not just to be a teacher, not just to be a healer. Jesus came to be the Savior of all people for all time that God calls. That's why he lived. That's why he died. And that's why Jesus rose again. So he could be your Savior forever and rescue us from sin and Satan and death. This is how God showed his love for all mankind. He sent his Son. So we understand then the fourth reason that Jesus is the center of the Advent, the center of Christmas, is because Jesus is love and all love comes from him. There is no real love without Christ. Let me close with an illustration to help us pull all this together. I don't know about you, but I love having a fire on a cold winter day, especially at Christmas. I mean, there's something about a fire with its warmth and its flames that are dancing. It's soothing. It's relaxing. What is it about people that they love a fire in a fireplace? It's the whole experience. The experience of fire. I mean, it's the light and the glow and the embers and the coals and the warmth and the scent of the burning wood and the crackling and the popping. And it's all these things come together to make this beautiful experience so that we can just enjoy and relax. But see, you cannot have all those feelings without a fire. Watching TV, a fire in the fireplace on TV, you can buy, you know, do that at Christmas, right? You can, you know, it fills your screen, but it's not the same as a real fire. The things we love about fire comes from the fire itself. And fire is the center, the light, the warmth, the scent, the crackling. You know, it's the same way with Christ at Christmas. People want hope. They want peace. They want joy. They want love. But many people want these things without Jesus. It's like wanting the light and the warmth of the crackling of the fireplace without the fire. It makes no sense. It works. It just doesn't work that way. Just as the fire is central to that good feeling we can have as we sit there and sip our coffee and relax in front of the fire, Christ is central to Christmas. Hope, peace, joy, and love come from Christ. He is the center of all creation. We only enjoy these good things at Christmas because of him. As you observe the Christ candle at the center of the Advent wreath, remember that it tells us Christ is central to everything. He is the reason for the season, yes. He is the only one that can bring us true peace, hope, joy, and love. Let us draw near to him. Let us seek him. Let us praise him. And let's follow and believe and live our lives for him. As the song says, oh, come, let us adore him. Let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. He is Christ the Lord. Amen.